Thank you very much, Nora. Ladies, it was wonderful. Thank you for stepping in and using your gifts and honoring the Lord. It is, where is everybody today? You bet. I can guarantee you this, Jerry, the ones that God wanted here are here. And I am so glad that you are. We're in a series on prayer because we're having our prayer ministry enlistment. And probably one of the most important things we're going to do. Prayer is the most important thing we do. And prayer means more to God than it means to us. He is more desirous to answer than we are to ask. If God initiates prayer, it follows logically that He does so for the satisfaction of the desires that burn deep within His own nature and heart. His grand purposes await fulfillment in man's active participation in the adventures of faith. Therefore, we pray. I just want to talk to you a little bit today about praying in the Spirit. Now, I know that as Baptists, we don't talk about praying in the Spirit much because we're afraid, and I'm just going to say it, that someone might speak in tongues. And you all know that if you've been a Baptist very long. Well, let me assure you that today I will not speak in tongues. But I hope we learn to pray in the Spirit because they are not synonymous. Now, if you hear anything I say today, hear this. Praying in the Spirit and praying in languages are not the same thing. I am not going to say anything today negative about praying in tongues. That's counterproductive. But I am going to talk today about praying in the Spirit. But I want to kind of summarize some of the things we said last week, and then we'll get into praying in the Spirit, and we'll read our passage. First of all, let your gaze, when you pray, be on God. Stare at God, if you please, and glance at your requests. Most of us look at the mess and tell God what to do about our mess. Most of us, when we pray, give directions to God. There is much difference in telling God what to do about our problem and seeking Him and listening to Him and following Him in the midst of the problem. Did you hear that? There's a lot of difference in telling God what to do about our problem than seeking Him and listening to Him and following Him in the midst of the problem. How many of you did your 15 minutes or as much as you could? That's great. I hope God spoke to you. But if He didn't, keep doing it. He will. Let your gaze be on God and glance at your request. Number two, let prayer be your first choice, not your last choice. We talked about that last week. Don't wait until you have exhausted all your resources physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually before you seek God in the circumstances of your life. I have a picture in my library at home, and it's a picture of feet. And you see this finger touching the hem of a garment. And it's an artist rendering of what it might have looked like when the woman who had the issue of blood touched Jesus and the healing flowed from him. You remember that story? She had done everything for years that she could do. And she touched the hem of his garment. And she was healed. She was healed. The incredible thing is, and what that picture reminds me is, pray first. Pray first. And then act with wisdom. Pray first and act with wisdom. Do what a wise person would do. Call a doctor. Or call an ambulance. The third thing I want to remind you is, let your prayer be filled with praise. Acknowledge the sovereignty of God. Just be praise more than you request things. And then finally, pray retail, not wholesale. Here's what I mean. Pray for specific persons and needs, not in generalities. Don't pray, bless all the missionaries. Pray for them by name. And I want to tell you something. The Southern Baptist Convention will send you names of missionaries to pray for. We need to pray specifically for people. That's why eventually we're going to have some emphasis on praying for lost people, and we're going to ask you to write down names of who you're praying for to come to know Christ. And you pray specifically, pray retail, not wholesale. And then the final one is pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at the screen, you'll see Ephesians 6:18 out of the ESV. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Praying at all times in the Spirit. And I have asked a lot of people, do you pray in the Spirit? And a lot of people tell me they don't even understand what it is. And there is the verse that says pray at all times, but then it says pray in the Spirit. It's a command. We need to know what it is. And then turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with great groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings too deep for words. Then I want to read one more verse, and it will not be on your screen, but I still want to read it. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's Luke 11:9-13. As I read Luke 11, 9 through 13, I begin to realize that Luke saw something other gospel writers may not have seen. He saw a correlation between prayer and receiving a fuller measure of the Holy Spirit. When we pray persistently, we receive more and more of the Spirit. We get God Himself. The greatest benefit of praying in the Spirit is we get God Himself. We get more and more awareness of who the Spirit is. I hope we see that the ultimate answer to prayer, the ultimate reason to pray, is that when you pray, you get God Himself. When you pray more readily, you come under His influence. The only hope for any of us to enjoy a meaningful prayer life is to cultivate intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Effective prayer is supernatural. It requires divine intervention. The principle is reflected in the two New Testament, where we often see Jesus praying in the Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. At His baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon Him while He was praying. Luke 3, 21 and 22. When He went to the wilderness for 40 days to fast and pray, it was the Holy Spirit who led Him. Luke 4, 1 and 2. On the mountain, when Jesus was transfigured, the Holy Spirit came on Him as He was praying. There are manifestations of Jesus Christ we only receive when we obey. Now, I want you to catch this because it's not taught very often. John 14, 21 says this: He that has My commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves Me. Now, don't miss this next part. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father. Most important thing in the whole verse. And I will manifest Myself to him. One of the benefits of obedience is an incredible love from the Son and the Father. And don't miss this. And Jesus will manifest Himself to you. You will know Him better and better. When you obey, you get manifestations of Jesus. And when you pray, you get God Himself through the Holy Spirit. There is an incredible inherent benefit of obeying God, because you get a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. He will manifest Himself. And the word manifest means show. It means display. You will have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ if you obey Him, and it will be deeper than if you disobey Him. And folks, when you think about it, does that not only make sense? Now, He loves you whether you obey Him or disobey Him. He died for you whether you love Him or and obey Him or not. But if you want to have special relationship with Him, try obedience. And the same thing's true of prayer. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision," and that's a biblical way of saying Christians, "who worship God in the Spirit rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We worship God in the Spirit, capital S, rejoice in Christ Jesus, Philippians says, and have no confidence in the flesh. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? First of all, it means pray as the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There is an inter-dialogue that goes on between your small s spirit and the Holy Spirit. It is incredible. If you're a believer, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. That's why you listen. You listen for the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you have ever decided to pray and you went to your closet or you went to the place where you pray and you started praying and your mind started wondering? Has that ever happened to anybody here? Okay, what if your mind's not wondering? What if those things that come to mind are a witness of the Spirit telling you who to pray for and what to pray for? Now, sometimes if you're thinking about football, I doubt if that's the Spirit. But if you're praying and someone in your Sunday school class comes to mind, what if God's telling you to pray for that person? One day I was praying and my mind was wandering and I thought of this guy I hadn't thought of in a long time, and I thought of him and I just heard an inner voice that said, you need to call him. So I found his number and I called him, and when I talked to him I could tell he was upset, and he said, you will never know what just happened. I am as discouraged as I've ever been in the ministry, and I had just asked God for someone to encourage me. And when he answered the phone, I said, I don't know. I was in prayer, and I felt like God wanted me to call and encourage you. Now, do you think that was a coincidence? Do you think my mind was wondering? Now, there are a lot of times I ignore those, and I'm hoping to get better at it. But the point I want to make is sometimes when you're praying and something comes to your mind, it's an inner witness of the Holy Spirit that says you need to pray and listen. Because I'm doing something. Secondly, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. You know, sometimes when you go to the hospital to visit someone and you walk in, especially in a hospice, and they're on their deathbed and you know it and everybody in the room knows it, and they're believers, and there are times I walk into that room and I don't know what to pray. I don't know whether to pray, Lord, she is your child. She's going to glory. We believe in heaven. Take her home. or I don't know whether to pray. Heal her. Heal her on planet Earth. You see, that's kind of the choice. Heal her in glory or heal her here. I don't know what to pray. But you know what I believe confidently? Is that the Holy Spirit, if we bow and pray, will pray what needs to be prayed. That's what Romans 8 says. I remember going to the hospital in Amarillo, Texas. And I was pastor at Borger, and a lady had cancer, and they told her that she had 3 days. And so she wanted me to come and plan her funeral, which is just an extremely difficult time. And so I went in, and I took our worship leader, John Kilgore, and she sat down, and we went through a detailed account of what she wanted us to say and sing and do at her funeral. We wrote it all down, and we prayed for her that God would do His will, and that God would bless her, and that we would accept whatever God's decision was. Because she really believed she was going to die. We really believed she was going to die. And we went back to Borger. Ladies and gentlemen, 3 days later, she was healed. I left Borger and never did that funeral. I praise God that He will pray for us when we don't know what to say. Don't you? Aren't you glad He didn't leave it up to us? And that if we pray right, the right thing will happen. But if we pray wrong, the wrong thing will happen. No, He says, I know your weakness. I know you. I know that you don't always pray correctly. So therefore, my Spirit will pray for you correctly. Your job is to kneel and let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Have you ever also gone to prayer and it was so intense that you just wept? Your heart was broken. You didn't know what to say. That is when the Holy Spirit prays for you. Finally, pray under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Pray under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you 2 ways to do that. Number one is to pray Scripture. If you pray Scripture, you know you're praying God's will. Pray Scripture, and then in your prayer time, as you listen and the Spirit brings something to your mind, let Him lead you into what to say. That's why prayer is a mystery. That's why prayer is mystical, and that's why prayer is helpful, and that's why prayer is powerful, because the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray according to the will of God. Now, I know that this is mystical. I know that it's sometimes mysterious. But I think it's interesting that we know that Jesus said in John 15:5, without Him we can do nothing. But it never occurs to us that in our prayer life we can do nothing. That's why we must pray in the power, under the leadership, in faith, that the Holy Spirit will pray through us. You can pray with your mind a very correct prayer. You can pray a very beautiful prayer. And you never truly pray. Because we must pray in the Spirit. Now, pastors, and I'm one, so I can say this. We will say, let's pray. Now, sometimes we pray it, we say, let's pray, because our pants are unzipped and we've got to zip them. I've done that. Those are the weird people. But sometimes we pray and we do this. We'll say, let's pray. Father, these people are mean-spirited. They are hateful. They need Jesus. I know you're mad at them. Now, who am I really talking to? The people. But I don't have the courage to say it to them, so I pretend I'm saying it to God. You see, I don't believe in using prayer to preach. Anything that I would say about this congregation in prayer, God already knows. So I must let him lead me to pray what he wants to do. You can't abuse people. You can't gossip in prayer. To pray in the Spirit means we don't know what we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit orders our minds, directs them, empowers them, because we are submitted to him and we depend on him. We're going to preach a couple more messages on prayer, but I think it's important for us to know the foundation. We are to pray at all times, and we are to pray in the Spirit. We start praying in the Spirit, or as we continue to pray in the Spirit. Don't miss that. If we continue to pray in the Spirit, great things are going to be accomplished. Because that's the atmosphere in which God works. So I just want to give you this challenge. May your prayers come alive. May it burst into flame. May you allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind. May the Holy Spirit lead you to a knowledge of God that is indescribable because of its glory. And may you always, always, pray in the Spirit. And I say that to myself. May I always pray in the Spirit. You know, we pray on Wednesday nights, and it's a wonderful time. It is a wonderful time. And God doing things. And I just pray that as we meet on Wednesday nights as a congregation, that our prayers would be prayed in the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for this truth, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And I pray you would clarify where I've been fuzzy, and that, Lord, people would catch the heart of it. And just, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of serving your children here. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, it's 11:30. I'm going to do something that you may not have ever seen in your life. And now everybody's nervous. Especially Jerry. Jerry, calm down. It's going to be okay. I'm not going to do anything terrible. It'd be a little crazy. Here's what I want to do. I want to know, do you have any questions you want to ask me about this sermon today? You can ask me any question you want to right now. Now, I may not know the answer. I'm not saying I have all the answers. But I am saying it is more important to me that you catch this incredible truth than anything. And sometimes you're sitting there and you'd say, boy, if I could get him, I'd just ask him this question. You got me. Do you have a question? Yes, ma'am, Nikki. Now, somebody repeat that for me so I can hear it. Praying in the Spirit, what? Yes, it's part of it. Yes, ma'am. As you pray in the Spirit, you will be God's conscious. Yes. Anybody else have a question? Yes, sir. Jerry. Well, it's been my experience, Jerry, that it's mostly in my mind and heart, just to be honest. Now, I can think of when, I think of crazy things. I'm just three-quarters insane, but that's why we're friends. Peter, he was sinking and he made a prayer. Help me. I've debated, is that prayer in the Spirit or not? I think it is, but it's out loud. When Jesus prayed in the garden, of course he prayed under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was out loud, we think, but it might not have been. Most of the praying in the Spirit that I have experienced is out loud when I'm praying with someone else. But I'm not conscious. When you're praying, pretty soon when you're praying the Spirit, you just pray and the Spirit takes over. But I think I know when I'm not. When I'm trying to impress the people who are listening to me, I'm not praying in the Spirit. I tell you what, when you get a bunch of preachers together, you talk about flowery language. And we're all trying to outpray each other. And I know this just really disappoints you, but we actually do that sometimes. That's not praying. You know, it's just not. And if I'm trying to impress somebody, or if It's just when I open up my heart and allow the Holy Spirit, and many times I just forget where I'm at. Yes. I tell you what, the crazy thing about preaching, if I'm going to be honest with you, is sometimes you say things that you don't even know you say. And you know how I know that? People will come up to me and say, when you said this, God used it in my heart. And he touched my life. And I go to my notes, and you know I manuscript them. It isn't in there. I didn't say it. But then I'll get the tape, listen to it, and I hear things I say that I didn't think I said. And I think that's when the Holy Spirit takes over. And he has a word for a person. And that's the mystery of our God, who is incredible, right? So I can preach one sermon, and God can take it and multiply it and impact many lives. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit doing this. It's too hard to work. Any other question? Folks, the older I get, I'm 72 years old. I only have another 40 years to live. But the older I get, the more I realize that our work as Christians is really the Lord working through us because of his grace. And if we don't have him and his grace, we will get nothing done. It's him. It's all him. And we need to pray in the Spirit. And I need to preach in the Spirit. And we need not fear the Holy Spirit, because he will bring fire to this place. And we want him to fall. Problem with it, if the Holy Spirit falls, we can't control it. But you don't even want to, right? We'll just follow like little kids. Amen. What's the closing song? Open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. That is so good. And we're going to just, here's what I'd like for you to do. Just relax and stand and make this our closing prayer. Okay? This is a prayer. And let's make this our closing prayer. Okay? You ladies come. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping us out. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you today.